The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
The Men's Room presents Profile This.
And Stephen Throw Hooks, please tell everyone how Profile This is played.
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Alex. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, Alex, you understand how this year's game is played?
Yes, because I played yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Oh, good. Oh, the right. Customer.
Well, welcome back to the show. You still have your choice
Thank
of one
you.
Of three.
I got my dad with me today.
Is your dad a smart guy?
He's smarter than me.
Okay. Well, that doesn't say a lot. All right, but today you still have your choice of one of three categories. We have Seriously, where you guess the petty conflict that led to violence. License to Spill, where you guess the substance responsible for creating the mess. And finally today, In the Buff. Well, the person is naked. Either tell us where or why.
I couldn't hear the first three, so I'm going to go with the naked one at the end.
Buff. All right, here's your story. We go to Denton, Texas, where police arrested a naked 34-year-old man who was just being weird outside of a downtown restaurant. At about 9:13 p.m., officers were dispatched to a local library branch. Now, the caller reported a naked man outside being weird and talking about the government agents being after him. When officers arrived, they were not initially able to locate him. Shortly after, dispatchers received additional calls about a man of a similar description in the street, meaning another naked guy. Well, one caller reported seeing a man exposing and grabbing his genitals outside of an occupied restaurant. Another caller said a completely naked man, well, he was doing something kind of strange directly outside of that strange restaurant. Anyway, officers, they did find him and they placed him under arrest for exposing his genitals and they booked him into the city jail without incident. What was the naked guy doing when the cops nabbed him? Was he, and keep in mind, he's outside of an occupied restaurant. Was he twerking? Was he pressing his body against people's cars? Was he masturbating or was he chasing people? So twerking, pressing up against cars, masturbating or chasing people. What was naked doing outside of the restaurant?
My dad thinks pressing up against cars. But
okay, you just learned something about your dad, buddy.
What's that?
You just learned something about your dad.
All right, let's go with his answer, pressing up against cars.
All right. I'm going to go twerking there, Ted. Hey, you know what? I think he's masturbating.
What was this guy doing? Was he twerking, rubbing against cars, masturbating, or chasing cars? We're going to find out next.
That was a tease.
You are listening to The Men's Room.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Category is in the Buff on Profile. This Texas police arrested a naked man. He was first being weird outside of a library, then he moved on to the middle of the street, and then a full restaurant before he was finally arrested. Question is, what was this naked guy doing that was a little bit weird? Was he twerking? Was he rubbing his body up against cars, masturbating, or chasing cars?
And Alex, that is a question that we asked you. Let us start with Detail Smith, who straight up said masturbating.
No?
He was not masturbating.
All right.
Miles, you went with twerking because, you know, he's naked. Why the hell not? Might as well give him the full show. And Alex, okay, you said, well, your dad said pressing his body up against cars, which makes your father kind of creepy. It also makes him correct.
Wow.
Yeah. He knows what's up. People just sitting in the restaurant watching a naked guy press his penis against the car like, I'm calling the cops.
Was it a Ford Probe?
Oh, no.
Now for all the TV news all the time, it's time for TV Time with Ted.
Now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, The Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
All right, your choice today, you got the Jimmys.
Fallon and Kimmel.
Seth Meyers. Cole Banner.
Steven.
Or Ted Smith.
Is it Ted or is it Larry?
That is right. The title is, guys, have teams of talented writers help them come up with a monologue each and every night. It is up to you to determine, is this an actual late night joke and from whom, or could it be a The Ted Smith original?
Good news, if you miss toys inside of cereal boxes, special editions of boxes from Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops, Apple Jacks, and Corn Pops will have plastic toys shaped like the characters from Disney and Pixar Toy Story 5. So if your kids didn't already like sugary cereals enough, now you have to buy them for the toys.
Hey, Ted Smith. Yep.
Yeah.
I like it's Disney Pixar. It's like, no. It's Pixar's. I know Disney bought them. This is Pixar's.
Yeah.
I know, they can attach their name. But I'm like, Disney, you don't do stuff like this. You do Frozen. Pixar does this.
Everyone was talking about how bad the security was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. The good news is, everyone is safe. And I think now security has figured this out. From now on, they're just going to put Trump in a locked deodorant case like they do at CVS. You'll never get into that thing.
I'll say Colbert.
Yeah.
Fallon.
Well, guys, everyone was talking today about how bad the security was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. The good news is everyone is safe, and I think they've now, security has figured this out. They said from now on, they're going to put Trump in a locked deodorant case like CVS. Oh. You'll never get in that thing. No, yeah.
Put him in a CD case. Remember those?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Does the Pope still rock the Pope-mobile?
I'm sure he does.
That thing's awesome.
Yes. He should ride in a Wienermobile.
I can't see him. The world's largest maker of condoms said last week that they're raising prices by almost 30% due to the Iran war impact on raw materials. But honestly, you won't really feel it.
Seth.
Fallon. Seth Meyers.
The world's largest maker of condoms said last week that it is raising prices by up to 30% due to the Iran war's impact on raw materials. But honestly, you won't really feel it.
A passenger on a Delta flight airlines... Ooh, I typed that twice. A passenger on Delta Airlines last week from Atlanta to Portland went into labor and gave birth about 30 minutes before landing. The crew congratulated her, then charged her for having an extra carry-on.
Yeah. Fallon.
Seth Meyers.
Finally, a passenger on a Delta Airlines flight last week from Atlanta to Portland went into labor and delivered her baby about 30 minutes before landing. The crew congratulated her and then charged her for having an extra carry-on.
You got to put a medical tag on your CPAP machine.
Really?
Yeah. I thought they would just know. And they were like, you have three carry-ons. I was like, it's medical. They were like, you didn't get a tag. I was like,
ah, okay.
And she was like, just wait. I'll get you one. I was like, thanks.
I got stopped once at I can't remember where we were, but I went through. Whose bag is this? It is mine. And it's a dude. So he opens it up and he's like, sir, what is this? Because he just sees tubes and cups. I'm like, are you being... And keep in mind, there's also Cheerios on, you know, those little smashed yogurt packs. And I'm like, are you being serious right now? Then a female TSA agent walks over and she's like, boy, those are breast pumps. I'm like, thank you. He was so embarrassed. I'm like, don't be embarrassed, but this is not a sophisticated bomb.
I'm nursing right now.
Yeah, this is to milk my wife's boobs, bro.
All right, so there's this guy, Jamie Ding, right? He's been rolling on Jeopardy, right?
Yeah, that dude's killing it.
He is. Now, he finally lost.
What?
And he had a little fun with it, right? But the kind of more interesting thing is the way that he lost this one, he didn't even lose it in Final Jeopardy. Because the guy that won had just been dominating and making everything truly daily doubles and hitting them like two back-to-back.
Okay.
How much do you want to risk on plays and playwrights?
$7,600.
Okay, another true daily double. You'll have $15,200 if you're right. The title object of this Oscar Wilde play is both a fashionable accessory and a mark of femininity.
What is Lady Windermere's fan?
That is correct, yes. Taking you to $15,200. Fortune favors the bold, Greg. Select again.
Historic Alliance is 16.
Answer there. Back to back. That's the other daily double. Now, Greg, you have gone true daily double on both of the first two daily doubles in this game. How much do you want to risk on the third one?
Let's do 7,000.
This 55-nation group launched in 2002 has its headquarters in Addis Ababa.
What's African Union?
African Union is correct, and it takes you to $22,200.
Ted, where's Addis Ababa?
So it's in Africa.
It is, in fact, in Africa.
I'll say Egypt.
Nope.
Where, I know this country.
It does start. Yeah, you've definitely heard of this country. It inspired Live Aid, We Are the World, countless jokes.
Ethiopia?
Ethiopia, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me double check that. I'm about 95% sure. I believe it's okay. The capital of Ethiopia.
Well, I just like the Jamie guy, right? He'd been winning so much money and everything. But this other guy had just destroyed during the game so much that, like, he had no shot. So he just wrote a goodbye message at the end.
Oh, cool.
And was like, all right, like, you got it.
Yeah, I was right.
Ethiopia.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad because I already said it out loud. Yeah, I'm right. That dude, I've seen him, you know, it's always on as you're making dinner or whatever. And it doesn't matter who that guy, not the current winner, but the guy before him, I mean, they're going to lose. And sometimes it looks like the people against them aren't even having fun. Right?
Yeah.
They would jump out to a lead or something like that. And I don't know if he's biding his time or if his thumb's slower than them to press the button. There would just be this moment. They'd be up on him like $6,000. And dude would just run like three categories. I'm like, Jesus Christ, that is insane to be that smart. Like, there is no topic he does not know something about. Or at least he can piece together what you're talking about by the clues. Which, if you listen to Jeopardy, they put the clues into question. That said, it still doesn't always mean anything to the normal person. And this guy, like, he hits the button. You know he doesn't immediately know the answer. You see him kind of move his eyes around as he's going through what, Ken Jennings said, and he can piece together the answer. I'm like, my God, man.
Yeah, and, like, look, you're right. You can see it in Jeopardy. You see it in sports sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's obviously epic comeback games, but then there's also games you watch, especially, I'd say, like, in football, where you're like,
it's just, the other team can't do anything.
Well, or you just know, like, I don't know how to explain it. Sometimes you just know one team had a bad half, and you're like, that's not a big enough lead.
Look, yes. Yes.
Right? I did it twice last year, right? Generally, I do cheer for the Huskies, but I grew up in College Park, so first, I'm a Maryland fan through and through. The Huskies are playing in College Park, right? My buddies fly back to Maryland with me. We have the tailgate. We're having a blast. Maryland goes up. It's the fourth quarter. They're leading by, what, 21 points or something?
And you knew.
I knew. I watch enough Husky football. Yeah. I freaking knew that it wasn't enough. And then it's the fourth quarter's going on, and they're driving down the field, and we just saw, what's it, Boston get drafted.
Uh-huh.
He is my favorite Husky the last couple of years. And, like, my buddy Sean, who's a Husky fan, he said, I could just hear you behind the row behind us going, Maryland, call timeout. You got to call timeout. They're going to throw that ball to Boston. They're going to score. Like, calls, like, just panicking.
It's
going to
happen.
I don't think they threw it to him. They threw it to him to get down to, like, the 10 and then scored. But it was just, like, you could just feel the whole tide rolling against you. It was
sometimes
just, like,
I just know. Right? Like, as a Ravens fan, last season in particular, it's like, because my son would be like, dude, we're looking good. I'm like, brother, there's time on the clock. They're going to lose the game. They can't. Look, they can put a bunch of points on the board, and the defense will allow the other team to put up more. And as long as there's time on the clock. And you're right. It's so deflating.
Right.
If you're a real team, it's not an issue. But we didn't have one last year. So this sucks.
That was the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship.
Right.
Yeah.
Just no matter what they did.
They weren't up at one point in time during the game until the very last shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. And I remember back in the day when we had Russell Wilson here with the Seahawks, unless you were down like 28 at half as a Seahawks fan, you never really cared.
Because you knew he'd come back.
Right, he'd run around, make something crazy happen.
But you knew the other teams panicked about it because they're like, that's what he's going to do.
Speaking of sports, I know there's a new season of Ted Lasso coming out. I had talked about Ted Lasso when it first came out, but I've been on mic the last couple days. I kind of went back to Ted Lasso. I don't really watch the first season, but I rewatched some of the end of the first season. I started on the second season, and it is just such a good show, right?
It has
character, and then some of it is just funny, too, right? I didn't watch a rom-com, but on that flight, like, I found myself a few times just laughing out loud to myself like a psycho, but I was like, God damn, this show is good.
He's got a great body of work. I mean, even if you just go to Meet the Millers and some other things, man, like, his SNL funny days were great.
And I like the idea, and remember, Ted Lasso was a skit when NBC first got the Premier League. But he had based that literally off a coach he had grown up with.
I've heard that,
and I want to say the Kansas, I think he's a Kansas City guy, right? Sudeikis?
Yeah.
I think it's like him. There's a few other ones, because if the Royals are good, they're all at the games.
One of my favorite skits in the last 30 years on SNL was when they would do the ESPN Sports Center.
Oh, God, that was great.
Oh, was it a Comadoma and all that stuff?
Yeah, him and who's the other guy? Will Forte. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just awesome stuff.
You don't call him the best play-by-play guy in the biz for nothing.
And if you've already seen some of it, like, I highly recommend you go back and start watching it so you're ready for this next season when it comes out. But yeah, just a great show. Hop in there if you've never seen it. Let's see. Clueless. Did anybody... I love Clueless, the movie. You guys probably didn't watch that one. Alicia Silverstone was in it. Mm-hmm. Basically,
I do know that.
Right. So Clueless was supposed to be revivaled from Peacock. Well, now they're not working on it anymore. They've decided not to move forward with it. But the good news is, not completely dead. The show's being produced by CBS Studios and Paramount. They're going to see if they can get another network or streamer interested. If it does happen, Silverstone still says she'll play Cher, also serve as executive producer. A woman who wrote and directed the original movie is also producing it. So, who knows, right? Some of these, again, Fuller House was well-received when it came back, and then I think it just fell off so quickly. So the revivals, they're tough.
It's hit and miss, you know.
Yeah. And it's like, does the story itself, like, warrant to be picked back up? Or are we just on it for nostalgia?
I think you're on it for nostalgia, right? But one thing we know to be true is you can put out a season of it, it'll get great ratings. There might not be much of a story, might not be worth revisiting again, but you can make your quick windfall of cash by doing it right now, right? And look, if you can continue with the story, keep making the money. But you know it'll do well when you first put it out there.
Well, and I feel like it was popular enough that it'll draw in that older crowd that's then going to bring their kids in to watch it, and then they'll get hooked on, you know, the next generation, as it were. So I fully agree with
you. Because there's Fuller House, and then I don't know if it's out yet, but Malcolm in the Middle.
Malcolm in the Middle. Yep, that one got released. How I Met Your Father with Hilary Duff playing the lead in that one. You know, it's
it almost feels like Fuller House opened up the door for all the, you know, I think everyone sat back to say, because Full House wasn't really a great show in the first place, definitely nostalgic, though. And like you said, it kind of hit, and I think everyone else said, you know what, man, we have better material. So if I'm Malcolm in the Middle, like a Bryan Cranston says he's going to come back, right, like, that's Malcolm, let's roll, bro.
Malcolm in the Middle, too, has a very unique thing where, like, Frankie Muniz Jr., I shouldn't say that. He's just Frankie Muniz, isn't he?
He could have a kid. You don't know.
I don't know why I made him a junior. I mean, he made a few movies, of course, Agent Cody Banks.
Because of Freddie Prinze, that's why.
It is because of Freddie Prinze. But he actively disappeared. He's and a very good
racing.
Right, he's a truck racer now, and I think he's got some starts coming up in stock car racing. But you're right. Having Cranston, with the successes he was of Breaking Bad, I feel like there's Breaking Bad fans that might watch this
just
to watch it, even if they weren't fans of Malcolm in the Middle. Just so folks know, also, Breaking Bad and Malcolm in the Middle, two completely different shows.
Absolutely different shows.
Wildly different shows.
There's a lot of people that were attaching them, though, like, actually Breaking Bad is the sequel to Malcolm in the Middle when he finally snaps.
That's somebody points out Scrubs came back. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Scrubs did come back.
With the same people, basically. Right?
All right, Scrubs, I think, is still doing well because it's the same exact people. And those guys, honestly, they are such good friends in real life.
Every commercial.
That I mean, it comes off, right? Like, that show just
never went away.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you don't do a finale,
you just
pick it back up 2 or 3 years later, no one knows. Comeback does it with Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah.
If Larry David came back out with a Curb Your Enthusiasm, it would just be a new season.
I mean, shoot the cartoons. Futurama, King of the Hill. They both had revivals on Hulu.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
Thank you, Chad. We appreciate it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. As we head to Kansas, where a 100-foot-long dinosaur burst into flames. Meanwhile, when you throw dynamite at your sleeping boyfriend, it's no longer fun and games. Massachusetts woman attacks a sheriff's officer with her hive of bees. A woman steps in a hole and falls way below her knees. And Florida teens attempt a social media stunt, which ends up with them in jail. It's time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the headlines. Here's my car.
Hey, top story. We go to Massachusetts for one of the wildest stories I've read in a while. A local woman had gotten the news from a friend of hers that he was to be evicted from his home. A little context, the man is over the age of 80 and is currently undergoing cancer treatment, which, if you've ever been around that world, you know that it is not a cheap affliction. Eventually, the debts got to the better of him, and a court ordered his eviction, with authorities arriving at his home to remove him from the premises. Having dealt with being evicted herself and not wanting to see a friend and good man go down on his luck lose his home, the woman arrived with a secret weapon to ward off officers. She's a beekeeper in the area and arrived at the home with several hives stacked in the back of her truck. She opened several of the boxes, unleashing a horde of bees on the officers. After being told that some of the officers have allergies, her reply was, "Oh, you're allergic? Good." And she continued her onslaught.
I remember her.
Several deputies suffered stings and one needed to be hospitalized. It's also reported that thousands of bees had perished in the chaos as well. The woman was arrested and sentenced to jail time for the assault.
Her sentence was not as long as I thought it would be.
No, it was only like three to six months or something like that.
Something like, it may have been 6 months, I think.
Right. I think circumstantially they somewhat understood her frustration. You're evicting a guy going through cancer treatments who's 80 years old out of his home?
Right.
I mean, come on.
I understand the frustration, but at the same time, I was like, okay, the bees will eventually go away, and then we're going to get your guy out of there. I see what you're doing. I get it, but... That's
a move.
That's a baller move right there, dude. Like, bees. You know, I've seen people stick dogs on people.
But she put them in the back of her truck and moved them
Yes.
there. I mean, she has a home for them.
This is a coordinated effort.
Oh, yeah.
Go, my bees. That is badass.
It kind of is.
I don't care who you are. That's badass. Bees. In other news, down to California, where a day at the lake started off on the wrong foot. The story goes that our man drove out to the lake, put his car in park, and walked away for a short time. Or so he thought. Turns out that he neglected to make sure that his car was actually in park, and it started to roll away without him. Toward the lake waters. By the time the man was alerted to his error by a bystander, it was already too late, and the car submerged itself in the lake. Authorities were called, arrived at the scene, and were able to put a tow line in the car and haul it out of the lake.
Which, yay. I mean, yeah. I know they got to get it out of the lake, but, like, your car is... done.
No kidding.
And it was up to the roof line.
Yeah, it was sunk. Yeah. It was gone. I have accidentally not taken it out of gear. Sure. I have accidentally put it in the wrong gear. I don't know that I've ever thought I had it in park but didn't
and let the thing roll. That's something I always double check.
Right.
And also just for that reason.
And also if I didn't, I immediately know. I'm never moving fast enough to where the car takes off without me kind of a thing. Right? That's a wild move. In other news, crazy story out of New York where domestic disputes get violent. A couple had gotten into an argument one night before going to bed angry, presumably to continue attempts to resolve the conflict in the morning. I'm sure they were going to get it figured out. But the male end of the group reports to authorities that while he was asleep in his bed, he was woken up by the sound of hissing nearby and opened his eyes to see some sort of a flame near him. He quickly woke up and realized what it was, a lit stick of dynamite.
Oh.
Yeah. He did his best to extinguish the wick, but was ultimately unsuccessful, with the stick detonating in his hand, causing him to lose his hand and forcing doctors to actually amputate part of his arm as well. His girlfriend was seen fleeing the apartment following the incident, and she was quickly tracked down and arrested, and I fully agree with Miles' question. Where the hell did she get the dynamite?
Well, she threatened to do this to him over a dozen times. He actually contacted authorities about this. You'd think they would have gone over... and said, like, do you have dynamite in your house?
Right.
Because they're living in a freaking apartment.
Right. Do you have explosives in here?
Yeah. And she did.
She had a stick of doggone dynamite.
Where does one randomly acquire a stick of dynamite?
She might be crazy, but she's not a liar.
Correct.
Yeah, I would not believe you have a stick of dynamite.
No.
And then she does.
What state?
This was in New York.
I have one guess. Maybe she worked on a road construction crew.
Has to.
Something like that.
Or a quarry of some kind.
Or she just...
Right.
Yeah, most people I know, a lot of people have guns, they have knives, they got all kinds of weapons. Dynamite typically is like, not part of their arsenal.
I think construction is the only place that I can even put together where she might...
Demolition.
Warner Brothers cartoons.
Yeah.
You know, they all have dynamite. Tower. Right. Just what?
Daffy Duck lives upstairs, you know.
I mean, seriously, my wife said, I will blow you up with dynamite. I would just assume she's being facetious.
Right.
Think of like, oh my God, she has dynamite.
Yeah, you've heard Coach Ted's advice to many 17-year-olds to get your stupid crap out of your system within the next year, and this story is evidence as to why. Two 18-year-olds have found themselves on the wrong side of the law after pulling stunts inside of a local Target and a Culver's restaurant. The pair filmed themselves performing the stunt in which one of the two rode a lawnmower inside of the local Target, damaging a door in the process, yay, and using a leaf blower inside of the Culver's, presumably for laughs and reactions online. Unfortunately, Johnny Law catches up to people like this, and the pair were arrested, and they now faces charges of criminal mischief and disorderly conduct, as well as property damage.
Where did this happen? What state?
Florida.
Yeah.
Okay, that explains it.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of certain places I've lived, like, if people are sitting in the Culver's eating, right, and you came up with a leaf blower, either you are shot or beaten within an inch of your life.
Right. Like, and also, I get it. You're 15 to 17 years old. You're going to do stupid things and film it and put it online because, look at this. This is Jackass. They told us not to emulate it, but we're going to do it. When you're over 18, that's called evidence.
Don't film it.
No.
I know you want the social media likes. I get it. But it's like, man, you're better off. It's better to be a story you tell than to have the actual evidence.
But just in case those stories have the bad taste in your mouth.
Thankfully, there's good news.
Up in Manitoba, a woman learned that simply getting out of a car can be a perilous venture. You seen these pictures?
I did.
She's so happy. She was being dropped off at home by her friends when she stepped out of her passenger side of the car, landed on the ground, and instantly sank up to her arms, right up to her armpits. Her friends didn't even know what happened. All they knew was that their friend had just vanished and walked around the car to find her stuck in the mud. They snapped some photos as they waited for rescue crews to arrive and hoist her out of the hole. She initially thought that she had fallen into a sinkhole, but it was later determined to be a catch basin that was missing a manhole cover. Side note, a subsequent search found a second basin on the other side of the road. What do you know? Missing its cover as well. No injuries were reported and both holes were properly secured.
You're right. She was very cool about it.
She was. You know, and that's part of the reason why I did the story is because, like, you know what? You got a good humor about it. You did some funny
pictures. It's also a lawsuit in the States.
It's also your house, so you can't really do much about it, dude.
Exactly. Men's Room Sports, you got more NBA playoffs on ESPN and NBC tonight, hockey playoffs on TNT and True TV, and you've got some late-night baseball over on MLB Network, as Miles found out. The Mariners are currently underway for Game 2 against Minnesota, looking to even the score with the Twins before the final game tomorrow morning, as last I checked, spoiler alert, after 3, there's still no score, so there's still a chance.
All right.
As far as your weather, they're saying considerable clouds tonight and a low of 46. However, it's all going to burn off tomorrow, as they're expecting partly cloudy skies and a high of 67.
Okay.
That's it for headlines with that. Mike Hawk is out.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time for the return of Who Sucks Less, the lovely Jolene, up in just seconds.
Yes, indeed, it's all true, but in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until tomorrow, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.